great to worship with you guys and to gather as a family and to remember all of those things that are true, and that we are here to worship our Lord and Savior together and to encourage each other together. And so thank you for joining us here in the middle of summer for our summer series. My name's Kevin Ewell, one of the pastors on staff. This is my third week up here, and so it's good to be with you guys. Thank you for coming back and not going, oh, when's Jamie return? But it's good to be with you guys as we continue our study in 2 Timothy. And to all of you at Northridge, I miss you guys, but I know James and the crew are taking good care of you up there. Out Fountain Hills, good to have you guys with us. There are whispers around here that my good friend Rick is back at Cactus. And so, Rick, I cannot wait to hear the adventures that are to be told from your trip. But you can clap for Rick. Those are all the people that know you, Rick. That's the people here. Cactus, good to have you. I'm excited to have you back. I missed you a bunch, brother. And to all of you online, good to have you guys here as well. As we continue our study, we're gonna do something a little different. I told Ryan right over here earlier, this might be a 9 o'clock only thing, but we're gonna give it a shot because it is a little different. In fact, I'm gonna ask you to do something maybe a little different than what we normally do on Sunday. And that's once the sermon starts, some of you go, okay, now's my chance to sit and listen for 40 minutes. You gotta engage a little bit, okay? We're gonna talk to the people around us. I'm going to throw some things up on the screen. I just want you to talk to the people right around you. Whether you know this or not, I say this at Northridge all the time. 98% of you will sit in one of the same three seats from now until when Jesus returns. And so you kind of are around some similar people. And if you can get to know them a little bit, maybe you can begin to feel more like a family. So here's what we're going to do. I'm going to throw some things up on the screen. All I want you to do is just real quickly give your thoughts. If this world has taught us anything, it's that opinions are king right now, and everybody's got one. We're all entitled to ours. But do this, share your opinion loosely and know that we are brothers and sisters in Christ. And at the end of the day, I'm not asking you to give me your stance on Jesus. We all can affirm here that Jesus Christ is our Lord and Savior. These are just fun things, fun ways to get us thinking about what impact they've had on culture. What impact they've had on culture. So here's how this is gonna go. I'm gonna throw two words up on the screen. I may set them up a little bit, or I may just turn you loose. Your job is to turn to two or three people around you and just answer which one you think's had a greater impact on the world around you. Now, I will say this because I'm gonna go home in a little while, and I have a wife who I adore more than anything else in the world. And even as I set this up right now, if she's at Northridge, she's probably already made her way out the back of the door because the idea of talking to anybody else gets her a little anxious. So here's what I'm gonna say. If you're an introvert, if you're here and you just go, man, I didn't sign up to talk to anybody. Here's the deal. All I want you to do is if someone turns and goes, hey, what do you think? Just go, yeah, not for me. Okay, let's practice. Yeah, not for me. And here's the deal. Everybody else, if you get one of those, hey, not for me. Let's love our brother or sister in Christ enough to go, that's great. No judgment, no shame. They're not rejecting you. That's just where they're at. And we're gonna love them enough right where they are. So if you need that, no. Okay, we're gonna be good. So here we go. Question number one, when you think of society, of our culture, of the world in which we live in now, which one of these two would you say has had the greater impact on culture, has made a greater legacy on our world right now? Our first one we're gonna go with this, Amazon, some of you guys got orders coming right now and you get delivered before the service is up, right? Amazon or the camera phone, okay, ready? Take about 30 seconds to discuss which one do you think's had a greater impact on culture? All right, let me bring you guys back in here. I don't need any fights, no punches thrown. I don't know if the worship guys are more encouraged that it got louder over an Amazon versus camera phone debates than over Cornerstone, but that's all right. Just think about it, kick it around. Again, no arguments, no fights. This isn't meant to like divide the family of God. It's just your opinion, your thoughts. Okay, so here we go. We're gonna do this two more times, but this one I'm gonna give you a couple of options because one of the options I realized is maybe for like a 50 plus year old crowd. But I'm thinking of you in the chapel. So all of you, I love you guys. I want to keep you in the loop. I also want to say, if you're online, don't be afraid to fire up that chat thing instead of awkwardly looking at all of us debating these topics. So here we go. Here's your first one. If you want to talk about the first one, go ahead. If you want to move on to the second one, go ahead. First one is this: Elvis or the Beatles? Okay? Elvis or the Beatles? Or for all of you that have to Google who those people are, here we go. Here's your one, okay? How about anything TV, movies, YouTube, all that, or social media? Greater impact on culture. Ready? Discuss. Go ahead. All right, all right, all right, all right. Bring it in, bring it in, bring it in. We got one more to do. You guys feel like you're getting to know some people, right? All right, okay. Get to know some folks, make some friends, be the body together. Okay, here's our last one. This one, I sold this one to my parents on the drive, my dad on the drive home from California the other day. He goes, oh man, that's a really good one. So here we go, let's see. Greater impact, the cell phone or the internet? When you think of the culture today, what had a greater impact on our world today, cell phone or the internet? Ready? Last time. Go ahead. All right. Some of you got a little lawyer in you. You're making your debate. You got your 6 points. Well, here, A point, A, B, C. Just let it go. Just have some fun. Relax. Impact on culture. Our world is different today as a result of these things and a litany of other things. Like, they just have an impact. They've left a legacy. And so as we get ready to dive into really the first part of our second chapter in 2 Timothy, here's a question I want us wrestling with and thinking about going into things. The world is forever different as a result of some of this stuff. Our world should be forever different as a result of the gospel. And so here's the question. Let's say it's 2050. We go 25, 27 plus years from now. How is the world going to be different as a result of your gospel? How's it going to be different as a result of the legacy that you are leaving to those coming up behind you in your wake, your kids, your grandkids, your coworkers, people that you work with, people on your sports team, the kids you go to school with? What is the world going to look like 25 years from now as a result of the gospel going out? Because of all these things that are up here 50 years ago, 70 years ago, none of them existed, and yet their impact is great now. The gospel's been around forever. And the gospel is the one eternal legacy that we all get a chance to interact with, and then to leave on a world behind. And then 500 years from now, the kingdom of God should look a lot different as a result of what we've done with this beautiful thing called the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so Timothy is going to get a charge from his mentor, Paul, to go out and to take this message and to share it with the world and to leave an impact. Let the world be different as a result of the life that he lived. It's the same charge God gives to us as his kids. If you're here today as a son or daughter of God, if you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, 50 years from now, how's the world look different as a result of what you did with this truth? what you did with the Word of God. We have a chance to leave a legacy, to pass something on. I think God's calling us to that. So let me pray for us, and then we're gonna spend the rest of our time wrestling with God's truth. Let me pray. God, thank you so much. I thank you for this book. I continue to thank you for the gift that it has been to me, and God, the source of truth that it is, the foundation to which we can stand on. And so God, I would ask today, in the power of your Holy Spirit, God, that you would enlighten our hearts to see it, to understand it. God, let us see it with fresh eyes. God, do not let us read our agenda, our wants, our desires into it, but God, let us hear your truth and your word. God, speak to us. God, I pray, even as I prayed earlier, God, that you would unite us together around a common cause, and that being your son, Jesus Christ. God, that this world would forever be changed, not as a result of what we do, but God, purely based on who we are to you and how we live out our lives in obedience to you. And so God, meet us in that place. God, and direct our thoughts. And as always, God, we'll thank you in advance for whatever you choose to do. So we love you. We pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So we are in 2 Timothy chapter 2, and we're going to look at the first 12 verses, and then Russ will pick it up next week as we continue on in our study. But let me give you real quick just the broad outline of where we're going today. Paul's going to challenge Timothy with a pretty big challenge. In fact, I might say this is the thesis of the whole book of 2 Timothy, to take what you have heard and pass it on to others. But he's going to break it down this way. And so here's kind of our breakdown of it. He's going to give us our strength. What's our source of strength in all of this? If you're going to be asked to change the world and you want to do that in your flesh, Thursday's coming and you will be exhausted by then. So we better find a greater power source than just us. He's going to give us this idea of our strength. Then he's going to give us our charge to continue to build a legacy. And again, a legacy I would understand to be through the gospel of Jesus Christ. And then he's going to give us the core of that legacy and our mission and make it very clear what it is we are called to do. So that's where Paul's going. If you remember last week, he said, Timothy, look, God didn't give us a spirit of fear or timidity or cowardice, but one of power, love, and self-control. And because that Holy Spirit indwells you as a child of God, you've been given a gift of faith, fan that into flame, send you out into the world to make a difference for the gospel, to leave a legacy. Let the world be different as a result of how you have interacted with the Lord and through his word and the world around you. That's what we are called to do. And so here's where Paul starts it off in chapter 2, verse 1. He says, you then, my child, be strengthened by the grace that is in Christ Jesus. He starts him off by helping him understand, look, your source of strength is in the grace that comes only through Jesus Christ. Timothy, I'm not asking you to go out and memorize scripture and create a list of 700 things you have to go do. What I'm asking you to do is sit in the grace of Jesus Christ, to wake up every day and to realize that you are a sinner, but you are saved by the precious blood of Jesus Christ. And even on your best day, you need Jesus. And on your worst day, God's grace covers you in all of that. Can you find strength in that? Does that encourage you in that? To me, the reason why this is so important, the reason why Paul starts here, is because this takes the gospel message from a tract that you have to memorize and then tell people to an overwhelming, incredible power and understanding of who you are in Christ, so much so that you don't have to memorize it or you don't feel obligated to share it. You want to share it because you're so blown away by what you have in Christ. Does that make sense? This is the, again, maybe this is too soon just because of my family, but this is the girl that gets engaged. You ever met a girl that's gotten engaged in the last 6 hours? Everybody in the world's got to know, he did it. Everywhere social media, they're calling everybody, they're texting everybody. And they can't wait to tell everybody because they're excited. It's not like they pull out their list and go, okay, who am I obligated to share this with? No, they share with everybody because they are excited. Are we that way with the gospel? Paul starts there and says, look, Timothy, I want you to remember, I want you to understand, your source of strength comes through the grace of Jesus Christ, who you are in Christ, and God's grace covering you each and every day, every moment. So let's be fueled by that. And once we're fueled by that, here's our charge. Here's what we are charged to do. Some of you guys have heard this, especially if you've been around men's ministry very long. And what you have heard from me, in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. Let's just camp out right here on this one before we get to our three examples he gives. What you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, entrust it to faithful men who will then be able to pass it on and teach it to others also. You see the daisy chain of events going on here? Jesus Christ interacts with Paul, shares the gospel with Paul. Paul takes that gospel and begins to share it with the world around them. At some point in his journey, grabs young Timothy and begins to teach Timothy this gospel truth. And now he's looking at Timothy going, Timothy, what I saw from Jesus that I passed on to you, I'm now asking you to pass that on to faithful men. Faithful men and women that will then take that truth and not go, great, this is awesome for me, and hold on to it. But what will they do? They will teach others also to pass this thing along. Guys, that's why we are here. 2,000 plus years after this was written is because faithful men and women have gone before us, and they've taken this gospel truth and they have passed it on to others and others, and it continues on today, and we are a part of that. I was talking to a group of friends the other day. I don't know how we got onto this, but I said, I wonder which disciple I'm from. Like, I wonder which disciple is the start of my family tree. You ever stop to think about that? Somewhere along the way, 11 dudes, terrified and scared to death, hiding in a room, interact with the resurrected Jesus, and he gives them a charge: go out, preach my message, tell people about me. 2,000 years later, here we are, and every single one of you that know Jesus Christ, you came from one of those faithful men doing what God called them to do. And on and on and on it goes. Are we willing to take this truth that we have heard from others, that we have read in the Word of God, and pass it on? That's the charge we're given. Take what you know, what you've heard, what you know to be true, and teach others also, who will then teach others also and continue to pass this thing on. But then he gives us three examples. Look at our examples. Share in suffering. We talked about that week one, right? We're gonna suffer for the gospel. Share in suffering as a good soldier. Here's our first one. As a good soldier of Jesus Christ, no soldier gets entangled in civilian pursuits, since his aim is to please the one who enlisted him. Right out of the gate, he's gonna give a soldier, athlete, farmer. You know what a soldier is? What he links to here? Doesn't get lost in civilian pursuits. Focused on what his mission is, what he is called to do. Paul says, look, Timothy, be like that. Be like a good soldier, enlisted. We're a soldier of who? Jesus Christ. He's the one who's enlisted us. So stay focused on that. It's too easy. It's too easy to get distracted. I think they got a name for it on social media, right? You can get trolled. Somebody says something, you take the bait. How dare you say that? And they go, oh, perfect. I got a live one here. And for hours, you're just back and forth with some 14-year-old kid living in his basement. Like, I got this guy suckered up. Don't get lost in things that don't matter. Stay focused on the mission. This may be, maybe I'll overstep. Ryan, pay attention. Give me a feedback on this for next hour. We get too distracted sometimes on things that we think are gonna change our world, whether it be economics, politics, insert whatever it is you think is gonna change this world in a way that you want it changed. If it's not through the gospel of Jesus Christ, I think we've gotten a little bit off track. Not that those things aren't important. Yeah, you can clap. I'm not saying those things aren't important. I'm not saying they don't have great value, but they are not eternal things. The gospel is. The legacy we leave should always first and foremost come back to the Word of God and the truth of Jesus Christ. Like a good soldier, don't get distracted. Don't chase the next shiny penny. If your hope is in what's coming and it's not Jesus, I think we've missed it. I think Satan rubs his little hands together and goes, perfect, I've got him distracted. Let me keep trolling him a little bit. Let me get him all fired up. And for some of us, I'll be honest with you. I too, Ryan, got back from California. Beautiful looking this way, not so much behind me, but that's all right. You stay looking at the ocean, you're okay. You turn around. But can I see some of the people out there as image bearers of God and never lose the fact that they have intrinsic worth and value to the Lord? Or is my self-righteous, judgmental, Scottsdale heart get in the way? Can I stay focused? God, these are your kids. You love each and every one of them. Can I stay focused on the one that's called me and enlisted me into his army to go preach this message and to carry it on as a good soldier? But look at this one, verse 5. An athlete is not crowned unless he competes according to the rules. An athlete is not crowned unless he competes according to the rules. A good soldier is focused, not getting lost in distractions. A good athlete is disciplined, first off. But then he adds, but plays according to the rules. There's a charge here, and this is going to become important as we get to the very end of our section today. There is a charge here, at least an allusion to, look, we're going to live a life according to God's law, according to God's rules. Not because we are bound by it, Jesus freed us from the law, but because God calls us to be holy as he is holy, to be set apart, to be different. Are we living life that way? As a good athlete, according to God's law, according to God's rules. Jamie says it all the time. We got room for one more hypocrite in here for sure. Because we're all there. But what's the biggest knock on Christianity? Hypocrisy. And yet God calls us, look, live according to my rules. Look, can you live in such a way, like a good athlete? And when you live your life according to my law, according to what is said, you will receive a great reward. Focused on our mission. Living a life set apart from the world. But part of that comes, and this is where I fall victim. Sometimes I can get on my moral high horse. And I can begin to point the sin out in other people's lives. I did that again this last week. Pulled my young son aside and said, what kind of bad decisions do you think that guy made to end up there? To my almost 10-year-old. Man, I had to back that one up a little bit. I can get judgmental. I can look and go, oh man, they must have. We point the finger at all these things. You know what happens when we do that? The world that doesn't know Jesus, you know what they do? Do you think they root for us to continue to live moral good lives? Do you do that? Someone points something out at you. Hey, Jim, you gotta get this right. No, what does Jim then do? I can't wait for that kid to screw up because I'm gonna let him know. That's what the world's doing. So maybe instead of pointing out all faults and flaws in them, maybe we lead more with Jesus and of grace and compassion, empathy, not compromising truth. Don't hear me say that. Don't compromise truth. But to lead with love, grace, compassion, forgiveness, empathy, image bearers of God all around us. And we have an opportunity to lean into that and to show them something different, to live life according to all of God's rules, not just the moral ones that are easy for us to keep, but also the forgiveness, love, grace, and compassion that God calls us to. And maybe that might have an impact on the culture. Verse 6, here's the last one. It's the hardworking farmer who ought to have the first share of the crops. Stay focused as a good soldier. Be self-disciplined and follow the rules as an athlete. But don't be afraid to work hard as a farmer. Work hard as a farmer, and as a result, you will share in your first share of crops. What God's calling us to do is not going to be easy work. It's going to be hard. It's going to come at a cost. There's going to be times where it's going to be harder to do the right thing than it is to do the easy thing. And yet, can we do it because it's what God's called us to do? Are we willing to work hard? Are we willing to work hard to stand on truth, to never compromise and never give up? Even as he said earlier, maybe to suffer a little bit for the sake of the gospel. A reward's coming. And look what he says here. This is the last thing. This is a little side note. Verse 7, think over what I say, Timothy, for the Lord will give you understanding in everything. Here's what this is encouragement to me. And let me just walk over here and tell you, if you're out there and you're studying God's word, and you're studying, you pick up the Bible and you go, I'm gonna read this thing today. Don't be afraid to take a second and learn from Timothy to Paul here and just say, God, would you reveal to me what it is you have for me? Would you help me see and understand? The word of God, as Hebrews said, what? Living and active. Holy Spirit indwells us, living and active. There's an opportunity for us to invoke the God of the universe into the word of God that he wrote for us and help us see and understand what he wrote for us. And if we're reading this like we read any other novel or book that we have, I think we're missing out on a lot of the impact it could have. And so Paul to Timothy says, look, Timothy, don't be afraid to take a second, take a step back, take a deep breath, pray, ask the Holy Spirit to enlighten your eyes to see all that I have for you. That's how we study God's word. So here we are, we're charged to take what we have heard and trust it to others, to pass it on, to teach others also, not to get lost, stay focused, be self-disciplined, live lives of integrity, and work hard as farmers. Now here we go, verse 8. Why is this all so important? Well, what's the core of our legacy? What's the core of our mission? It's the gospel. It's the gospel. And he spells it out so beautifully right here, just in this first verse. He says this, remember Jesus Christ, risen from the dead, the offspring of David, as preached in my gospel. Look at what Paul breaks down here just in these, what is this, a line and a half here on this screen. Remember Jesus Christ, the anointed one. Don't forget who he is. Jesus, the anointed one. And then he adds this, risen from the dead. What's that talking about? Well, a couple of things. One, that's refuting any heresy that said, oh, Jesus didn't really beat death. Paul's quick to go, no, you don't understand. He beat death. He rose from the dead. But this is also an appeal to his deity. It's also an appeal to the fact that he is God on earth. Jesus, the anointed one, God on earth who beat death. That will come into play in a little bit. And then he adds this, the offspring of David. Why? Well, this ties in his humanity. Don't forget that he was also human and divine at the same time. But he's also from the line of David, fulfilling all the prophecy prophesied about from forever ago, comes true in Jesus Christ. And so all the way through, Paul is saying, look, don't forget what we have in Christ. Son of God, beaten death, son of David, man in human form. We don't have a high priest that can't sympathize with our weakness. We studied all that in Hebrews. You guys know all this stuff. Don't forget, that's the gospel message that I have preached. And Timothy, it's why I am suffering, bound in chains as a criminal. I love this statement right here. But the word of God is not bound. The word of God is not bound. You can chain Paul up. You can shove him in a hole. And with confidence, he would write to Timothy and go, Timothy, they locked me up down here. I may never see the light of day again. But the word of God, it is not bound. You can't bind the word of God. You can't control the Holy Spirit. What does he say? Satan will not, the gates of hell will not prevail against my church. Church is unbound. Can we unleash it? Can we unleash this gospel truth in us on a world around us and leave a legacy? Don't hoard it. Share it. It's unbound. You want to know that the church is unbound? I told you a little bit about my friend that went to Jordan last week. Go talk to Ethan Collins. Ethan Collins is our outreach pastor here at Shea Campus. Just ask him, Ethan, tell me a story. He'll give you beautiful stories of the gospel doing incredible things in some of the places that if I gave you a free trip and $100,000, you would turn it down because it's too terrifying to go to. And yet he'll tell you, man, let me tell you how the gospel is moving there. Cactus, go talk to Ethan Clark. Fountain Hills, go get in Danny's ear. Ask him what's going on in student ministry. Certainly here, you can talk to Mike Grabsky or the guys in student ministry, Spencer and Jordan at Northridge. Ask the guys, hey, it seems like students today are wandering away from truth. They'll tell you beautiful stories of the Holy Spirit moving in the lives of our students. Students that are having to wrestle with things that you and I never had to. Gender identity stuff, race issue stuff, sexual tension, everything that's coming at social media. You know what I never had to do? If a kid made fun of me at school, I didn't have to see him again until the next day. Kid picks on one of our kids now, you know what they gotta do? They gotta see it all day long on their phone right there. They're having to deal with a litany of things you and I never even thought of, and yet they're still falling in love with the gospel of Jesus Christ because the word of God is not bound. And there's hope in Jesus Christ. Share those stories. Tell those stories. Ask people. Man, there's great stuff happening. Paul knew it. The word of God is not bound. Paul says to Timothy, look, I'm locked up in this little hole. No one knows where I am, but you know what? God is still at work. God's church is still at work. The gospel is still going out. Therefore, Paul would say this, I endure everything for the sake of the elect, that they may also obtain the salvation that is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. Paul is saying this, look, I will suffer anything for the sake of my kids, for the sake of those that need to know Jesus Christ. For the elect, those chosen, those that would fall in love with God, I will endure suffering if it benefits them. Do we have that mindset? What are we willing to risk for the sake of leaving a legacy to the world around us? What's maybe God calling us to? Would we be able to say, look, I'll endure everything for the sake of other people hearing about Jesus? I don't know, it's a tough question. Then we're gonna get into a hymn. A lot of commentators think Paul wrote this, so I think there's a lot of truth in it. Here's what he said. The saying is trustworthy. And here's how he ends it. This is bringing us back to the beauty of the gospel. If we have died with him, we will also live with him. If we endure, we will also reign with him. If we deny him, he will also deny us. If we are faithless, he remains faithful, for he cannot deny himself. Let me break this down for you. If we have died with Christ, we will also live with him. What does this sound a lot like? Man, this reads a lot like Romans 6 to me. Dead to sin, alive in Christ. A lot of allusion here to baptism, right? You go into the water identifying with his death. You come out of the water identifying with his resurrection. If we have died with Christ, surrendered our life over to the Lord and said, God, I'm a broken sinner. I cannot save myself. I need you for everything. And we give our lives over to Jesus Christ and say, God, help me live life for you, not for myself. We have died to ourselves and we are now living with Christ. Perfectly? No. At least not me. Maybe you, but not me. But certainly striving, dead to Christ, alive with Jesus. Then we go on to say this, if we endure, we will also reign with him. There's a call, there's a charge. If you remember last week, we even looked at it. Anyone that professes Jesus Christ will be persecuted, will suffer. That's a promise. But it's not a promise of let's just see how much you can take. It's a promise of, look, you endure now. You endure now, great reward is coming. 1 Corinthians 3 talks all about this. 1 John would talk about it. Romans talk. I mean, it's all this idea of, look, living your life for Jesus now may come with some suffering, may come with some persecution, may come at a cost to you now. But remember this, whatever it is you got, whatever the lightest, coolest thing you've got, 100 years from now, ain't gonna matter. 100 years from now, the only thing that matters, what'd you do with Jesus? Were you able to endure now, suffer now, sacrifice now for the sake of the gospel, to pass on and leave this legacy now? What's our promise? Well, we get to reign with him, certainly be rewarded with him. But the beauty of God's love is this, he gives us the opportunity to make our own decision. It's called free will. If we deny him, he also will deny us. This is very Matthew 10, 30 to 35-ish, right? Jesus would say, if you deny me here on earth to men, I will also deny you before my Father. Here's the beauty of God's love. I used to have kids ask me this all the time when I was going to the high school. They go, well, you know, if God's all loving, you know, why doesn't he just make everybody believe in him? I said, he could very well do that. Could have made all of us believe in him. But you know what we lose in that opportunity? If you're forced to love somebody, genuine love, right? If you own a dog, you know this all too well. You could go to Sharper Image, buy one of those robot dogs, fire some batteries in them and turn them on. And that thing doesn't poop, doesn't pee, you don't have to feed it. You can leave it at home, take the batteries out, do whatever you want. It's beautiful. But yet you choose a real dog. Why? Because when that robot dog comes in and you say something or punch something in your phone, it does whatever you tell it to do. But when your real dog walks in, he runs over to you and he's so excited to see you. You're home. He's choosing to do that because he loves you. Something different there. The God of the universe said, look, I want everyone. I want all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of truth. I want everyone to fall madly in love with me and to see the love that I have for them. But I'm not going to force you until the day when we make all things new. And all bow. But until then, right now, we're given a choice to accept or deny. But to deny Jesus is the greatest decision you'll ever make, to deny Jesus Christ. But let me make real clear on this. To deny Jesus here and now, to deny the beauty of the gospel, to look at God of the universe and go, God, I got it. I'm better than you think I am. I got it from here. I don't need you. I'm angry at you, I'm hurt by you, whatever it is that's causing you to deny the truth of Jesus Christ. When the day comes, we kneel before the Father and he goes, you may have what you wanted and that is you denied me, so therefore I'm gonna deny you. Don't you dare shake a fist at God and say, how could you do this to me? We gotta own our decision. We chose to deny. So we get what we wanted. We deny him, he's gonna deny us. But look at the beauty of this. This last one, commentators baffled. They'll give you both sides and then I'll tell you where I land. If we are faithless, he remains faithful, for he cannot deny himself. If we are faithless, he remains faithful. You'd think this would read, look, if we are faithless, he's gonna be faithless to us, but it doesn't. If we are faithless, he remains faithful. Two options here. Some that I believe have a hard time understanding the grace, the source of all of it is grace, would say this, if when we are faithless, when we look at God and go, I got it, no thanks, and wander off away from him, the faithfulness of God is that God is gonna punish us according to what he promised. He will be faithful to bring punishment. That's one side, that's not my side. I'm over here. I read it as I think it's meant to be read. Look, when I'm faithless, when I look at God and go, God, I know what you want me to do, but I got a better idea and I choose that, and that happens every day. The beauty of the gospel of Jesus Christ is even when I don't measure up to what God has called me to, God is continuing to pursue me and to say, stay faithful. This is Romans 8, really 31. If God's for us, who could be against us? But you get down in 38 and 39, right? Nothing can separate us from the love of God, even my own faithlessness. I think there's some beauty in that. I think you read John 10 and you talk about the double grip of God, and my sheep know my voice. I've got them. God's got them in here. And all of a sudden it's like, man, when I am faithless, even then God loves me. You know what the beauty of that is? For all of us, and my boy Brandon up at Northridge knows exactly where I'm going with this, myself included, the days that I don't do well and I want to wallow in shame and guilt, you know what a verse like this reminds me of? Kevin, even when you don't do well, I got you. What does Hebrews 1 tell us? Jesus Christ is the exact imprint of God. You want to know who God is? Study the life of Jesus. You remember Jesus nailed to the cross, looking out at the Romans who nailed him there and the Jews who asked him to go there? What does he say? Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. I see a lot of that here. God, they're faithless. They're murdering me. They're accusing me of things that I did not do, and they are killing me. And yet, God, I'm going to ask you, even in their faithlessness, would you remain faithful and forgive them? Man, I see that a lot. To me, that is the beauty of the gospel. That I have everything in Jesus Christ. And on my best days, I need Jesus more than ever. And on my worst days, I need him even more. And God's grace just covers us. And because of that, we go all the way back to verse 1. I am blown away by the gospel that I can't help but share it with the world around me and to leave a legacy, to leave an impact, to not get distracted, lost, live a life of integrity as best I can. And when I fail, to remember, look, God's faithful. God's faithful. So I don't know. I don't know what this stirs in you, but here you got this young guy, Timothy, scared, timid, afraid, Paul trying to encourage him, build him up. Don't get distracted. He's gonna spend, Russell will get to this next week, he's gonna spend the next couple of chapters reminding us, look, don't get lost in endless babble. Don't get lost in petty words and arguments. Chapter 4, look, don't get lost in all these different things. Stay focused. Stay focused on the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's why I say, at least up at Northridge, you hear me say it all the time, man, just brag on Jesus. Go tell some stories. Tell the stories of how Jesus Christ has impacted your life and go brag on Jesus. Leave a legacy. Leave an impact. Again, you want to think, you want to begin to think and pray just in the moments of where you're at right now. God, what would it look like 30 years from now, 25 years from now, next year, this time next year, 4th of July next year, how is my circle of influence going to look different as a result of the gospel of Jesus Christ? Now all of a sudden we begin to take what we have heard, pass it on to faithful men to then take that message and share it and to keep going. I think that's what we're called to do. But don't do it. Don't do it because I'm telling you, because that ain't worth anything. Don't do it because you have to. Don't do it out of obligation. Do it because you are so blown away by the love of Jesus Christ and the fact that even when we're faithless, he remains faithful and he's pursuing us all the way. Let me pray for us. God, I thank you for our time together. God, I pray, even as I was praying earlier, God, I pray that you'll continue to connect us together as families, God, that we would know one another, that we would love one another. God, I ask for divine appointments even this next week, that you would put us out into a world, whether it be with those we know by name or those that we've never met before. God, you would put us in front of somebody and give us an opportunity to brag on your son, Jesus, to take what we know to be true, to pass it on to others. And as a result, God, that you would do what only you can do, and that's grab hearts. God, I pray for anyone here, if they're still on the fence, if they're still wrestling, God, you give them courage to talk to somebody, myself or one of the other pastors up front, God, just to reach out. If they're angry, let them come in their anger. If they've got questions, let them come with their questions. If they're hurt, sad, whatever it is, God, let us meet and love anyone you put in our way right where they are, just to love them, encourage them, put our arm around them and point them to your son, Jesus. Because 100 years from now, he's the only thing that matters. And for him, we are so grateful. So we love you. We pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen.